I'm your host, Jeff Dawson, for another episode of Dawson's Domain, where we cover the spectrum of life's pressing issues and events, from politics to relationships, sports to horror, alternative history to poetry, humor to baseball coaching, and everything in between. Good afternoon. This is Jeff Dawson from a partly cloudy Dallas, Texas. It's about 95 degrees, but that's a typical August day in Texas. Actually, it's not. It's about 10 to sometimes 15 degrees cooler. So we have really had a great summer. And anyone who bitches about it hasn't lived through some of the summers we've gone through. So it is really nice. We're enjoying our August and it's great. Now, if you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. If you have people that have trouble clicking on the icon to get the show live, you can also call in at 631-359-9353 and listen to it. And as I say each episode, this does cost me money. And if you really like the content, then you can be a subscriber. It starts at $2.99, goes up to $9.99 or whatever you want to contribute each month. That will help pay for this show. And then I still have a GoFundMe for motivational speaker and author for hire. I'm putting together my management program training based on my book, Cutting to the Chase, which we get rid of the bullshit. We just get down to the facts, managing people, ourselves, and making everybody more efficient, more profitable, and just better people. I'll give a shout out to Stacy LeGrand and her Shaggy Buffalo for all you gals that like Western and Gypsy clothing and accessories. She does a show 2 to 3 times a week on Facebook. It's live. And it lasts about 2 hours, but then she's got more items than you can shake a stick at. But if you like that stuff, check her out, and she'll take care of you. And last night was Friday night at Dunstan's. And our attendees were Jerry, Patty, Robin, Jennifer. Doug returned after about a 3 to 4 month hiatus. Raymond celebrated, I believe, his 66th birthday. And our servers were Tabitha and Stacy. And I do have a special guest today. His name is Lee Stewart, who I've known for about 5 years. He attended. And we were discussing, for the show started, whether we should get into old age and gravity. What do you think about that, Mr. Stewart?
No, we're gonna let Patty make it today.
Are we gonna let her slide?
We're gonna let her make it today.
All the grief she gave me last night. Why the hell should I let her slide?
Well, I'm gonna let her slide.
Okay, then I'll be nice.
Let her slide today.
Take a breath. Take a sigh of relief, Patty. You dodged this one, but don't think I haven't forgotten about it. And also, on the book signing that I've mentioned with Dunstan's, it'll be at the Lover's Lane location. We don't have a date yet. I've got to call that gal this weekend and try and get a couple of dates nailed down. It looks like they're going to be on a Sunday, but that's still in the works. And for those of you that don't know it, I became an Herbalife distributor, and that's going pretty good. In fact, Lee picked up the H3O, which helps you from dehydrating. What do you think about it?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, a little pricey, but compared to all the Gatorades that I buy here and there, Gatorades, Powerades, you know, it's effective.
But when I sign you up, if you want to, as a preferred member, you start getting discounts. So that won't be quite as high, because that's what I did with my son when he signed me up. But the stuff does work. Guys, I've lost about 10 pounds in the last I don't know, 4 weeks or so, just drinking a shake, taking a protein bar, walking my 2 miles a day. Because the last time I did this 7 years ago, I dropped about 50 pounds. So it does work. And if you're interested, you can go to my website to see all the products. And it's jeff-dawson.goherbalife.com/en-us. Okay, that's it for the promos right now. So let's just get into this. Texas Rangers. You can turn out the lights because the party is over. And if you listen to these announcers, they're talking about, oh, well, you can wait 2 to 5 years. Lee, you going to wait 2 to 5 years for any team to pull their heads out of their ass and give a program?
It's lights out, man. It's football time now. Oh, we can move around baseball. It's football time now. Let's get ready. I'm ready for the Kroger commercials to come out. It's in football time when everybody drops stuff in the shopping stores and people all go rumbling for the ball. It's football time.
What did I ask you on today? Football time.
It is
baseball time. But they're already on another 3-game losing streak, hanging on to the third worst record in MLB by 3 points. That's an accomplishment. No, this is pathetic. I've never seen the Rangers this bad. And I've been watching them for a lot of years. And that's really all I want to say about them. Yeah, I'll keep watching them because I guess I just want pain. But then I also follow Oklahoma State football, so that should give you an indication of how much pain I can endure. Of which, that's something I want to bring up. Because Lee went to UNT. He went on a football scholarship as a running back. And what does that say? Oh, I put up links. Okay. I forgot what I was saying. And he knows more about college football than I do. And I think we got a couple other guys that are listening today, JR and Tracy, that both went on scholarship to schools. But what the hell was I trying to get at?
I don't know, man.
Oh, you got to help me out on this one.
I don't know. We're just here.
Okay.
We're just here to have a good time, good show.
Okay.
And
all right, I'll get back to that. I got ahead of myself. Book review. I was given a book from Brian Sanborn, who's a good friend. It's called Undaunted Courage by Stephen Ambrose. And it's about the Lewis and Clark expedition to see what's going on, what was west of the Mississippi and the Missouri. And I'm about halfway through, and it is pretty interesting, but the jury's still out because it seems like there's a lot of repetition in the book. But, you know, Ambrose is one of the top historians, and I've read several of his other books. This one just seems a little long and drawn out because a lot of Lewis's journal entries, either he didn't write any or they were lost, so there's a lot of filler in the book on assumptions on what they saw, what they did, and what's going on. But still, it's not bad. It's not bad. I'd recommend this. Ridiculous comments. Well, just turn on a Ranger game and you'll hear them. I mean, Raymond the other day, you know, the Rangers are playing in this $1.1 billion fiasco that no one's going to now. And he said, well, the Mariners have their flight delayed. But before that, we aren't in a rain delay because we're in a dome. This guy went to Stanford, really? He went to Stanford. This is what they graduate. We aren't in a rain delay because we're in a dome. That just takes a lot of brain power, doesn't it? It is pathetic. I don't know. So, yeah, that handles that. And when you speak of stupid, just watch, you know, do the insurance companies in America think the American public is just ignorant Geico, Liberty Mutual, and Progressive, their commercials take the cake. I don't think they can get any more dumber. What do you think about that, Mr. Stewart?
Man, I'm just tired of these people calling me about insurance and car warranties and this, this, and that. And I got to see it on TV between any commercial. Yeah. Oh, it's a waste of time.
But
waste of time.
What type of marketing department comes up with selling wet teddy bears? What the hell is that crap? I mean, really? These people are getting paid a lot of money to come up with this stuff.
Hey, but the guy had a good New York accent.
I don't care. Wet teddy bears for sale. I mean, that's a good barometer on what our advertisers think our intellect is. Now, we had more intellect last night at Dunstan's than I get off of the TV.
Well, the guy did say he does things different.
Oh, God. So would you buy one? Would you buy one?
I mean, people buy a whole lot of worse, crazier things than wet teddy bears, right?
If they do, I really don't want to associate with them. That's insane. Okay. Now, one thing. Apparently, tonight and tomorrow night is the Hall of Fame induction because it was canceled last year. So it's going to run two nights. And when I heard who was going in, and I've been arguing with one of my best friends, Wes, and hell, this happened last night with Raymond. So I want Lee's take on it. Jimmy Johnson is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and apparently Jerry also said he's going to be in the Ring of Honor. And since I went to Oklahoma State, I was there when Jimmy was the head coach. And when he left, we got everything but the death penalty. We really thought we were going to be falling in like what happened to SMU, which was, we all know, destroyed that thing. So what do you think about Jimmy Johnson, Mr. Stewart?
Hey, he's a Floridian.
I don't care.
Gator Nation.
So?
So, I mean, track record. Regardless of what's done off the field or just that, track record proves things. Yes or no?
Yes, but I saw his track record at OSU was getting it thrown on probation for 4 years. Okay. Over a slush fund that he was behind so they could pay the players. He also had Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders as a backfield and couldn't win the Big Eight.
Hey, things happened. He was young then. He's matured. And look what, when he matured and finally got it together, look what he's done.
Yeah, he was with
championships in college, championships at professional level.
I still don't like some bitch. I mean, that's just.
But how many people do you like?
You're sitting to my right, so I like you. I like Wes.
Okay. Besides that, not many people do you like. So, I mean.
Well, when it comes to announcers, you're correct. I don't like any of the announcers. But, yeah, I'm just not a fan of. I'll never be a fan of his. So, that's it. But, yeah, if you want to watch it, apparently it's going to be on ESPN for two nights, and that's two nights too long to watch ESPN. Okay.
The Rangers was on ESPN for two nights. You would watch them, right?
No, I would not. If there is a game on ESPN, I do my best not to watch it. It's just – but then that goes back to all this crap that happened last year that we're going to get into. Another hot topic everyone knows is the COVID shot. To shoot or not to shoot, that is the question. Now, this is interesting because I'm still on the fence, but Lee's had his shot. And I was also reading something Mike Rowe, it was published in Red State this morning, and I read it, his take on it. And to me, it's a choice. What do you think, Lee?
It's you're right, it's a choice on it. But then, I mean, I'm starting to think about it now is as because I think I saw on TV the other day is that Pfizer, Moderna, is coming out with a fully developed FDA approved. So what was the one that we took?
I don't know. The experimental one?
I mean, once again, experimenting on black.
Oh, Okay. And folks, if you're watching the video, that's one thing I didn't bring up. I just said I had a guest, Lee Stewart, because I don't classify him as black or white. I just classify him as a man. So, but yeah, I knew he was going to have to throw that in there because he's intelligent and he has good opinions on every topic that we discuss. So you, are you thinking you're going to have to retake it with the FDA if the FDA approves it?
I mean, that's what it's looking like.
Is that what they're saying?
That's, I mean, they're calling for a third booster shot.
Is that what it's going to be?
That's what they're calling for, a third booster shot. And with the booster shot, it's going to be the fully FDA approved.
Okay. When, is that supposed to be this month or next month?
They said they'll have it by the end of the month.
So what would you tell someone like me?
I mean, you've been waiting now, so I'll continue to wait, see how the results come out. I mean, I just want to know if it's a vaccine or if it's not. I mean, because we've taken the vaccine. You're saying now over 50% of the population has taken the vaccine, but now all of a sudden you have all the hospital spikes going up, all this variant is coming out now, and they're talking about maybe there's going to be a different type of variant come out pretty soon. I mean, is it a vaccine or is it not?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
I'm looking for an answer from you. I'm just saying this. What you asked me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other people who feel the same way.
Do you feel that the media has, and the government has done everything to muddy the waters to where people are like, we don't know what's the truth and what isn't?
I mean, by them, we don't know, because by them saying fully, once again, fully, and notice how I put the emphasis on fully FDA approved. I thought these other ones were FDA approved also before they came out.
Okay.
And now you're saying, once again, fully FDA approved vaccine.
I don't know.
So what's it? Did we get saline solution? Did we get water? Or what? Or just something to bridge the gap to get us back out there, to get the economy back going so people can make money?
So do you think warp speed was a good idea that Trump instituted to try and fight this thing?
It's kind of hard. I mean, it's good that it was out there to try to fight it, but we've got to find out and fully understand this thing. Because how can you have one virus and then all of a sudden everybody's getting vaccine, getting their shots like they wanted to do, then all of a sudden, oh, we got a variant that comes out. So are they going to make us go back in the house again? Because we've already started, even at work, coming Monday, we've already started, whether you're vaccinated or not, mask.
Really?
Yes. Beginning Monday.
And, you know, when I track those numbers, those who have followed my Facebook page that I kick out every week, at the high, the big, I mean, we were all in lockdown. Everybody was having to wear a mask. Yet the highest week was like the middle of January, where there were 1.7 new cases. And it's like, you know, I watched these numbers escalate. And of course, people say, well, the CDC and John Hopkins are lying. Well, I don't know if they're lying or not. All I can do is take the information from the worldwide site that they set up and compile these numbers to see what comes out. I mean, you know, if we watch the news, Florida is the biggest center, followed by Texas. Yet what they keep failing to mention is California led the nation in new cases last week. So why isn't California getting this coverage? Is it because they're a blue state? Because it's Democrats? What the hell? You know? And that's why I post that, is like, here are the real numbers based on the information supplied. So who are you supposed to believe anymore?
The little Lucky Charms guy.
Why? Because they're magically delicious? Shit.
I mean, what other options do we have? I mean, it was, you got to understand, I worked through the whole thing.
Yes, you have.
Worked through the whole thing from start to finish, still working now, never tested positive for anything. You know, we've had workers at work test positive, been around other people who've tested positive, never tested positive for this thing. So, I mean, I don't know.
And I think we've only had two at the hotel at the very beginning. At least that was the rumor. Because I approached those two gals and said, if somebody tested positive, we need to know. And they just looked at me like ghosts. They turned white as a sheet. And it's like, don't suppress this information. But then I never heard any more about it. But I think that's unusual because, you know, we're pretty confined. And I don't know anybody that's had it here, which I found unusual. Okay. So it's still up in the air. What do you want to do? Okay. Now, this is the real reason I have Mr. Stewart here. A year ago, we were sitting down at the round table and debating what all these coaches like Gundy and Saban and what's the guy from Duke?
Krzyzewski.
If you recall, they all got on their horses and they're all talking about social justice and what they were going to do better. And I really hadn't thought about this until Lee brought it up. And he goes, well, what are they doing? And I did a YouTube video on that, Director 59, or Jeff Dawson, about what we discussed. But I think it's, here we are a year later, and the real question is, what has changed? Cause, and that's what I was getting to earlier, that he went to UNT on a full-ride athletic scholarship. He got his economics degree, but his insight on this is a hell of a lot better than mine. So go ahead.
If you go back and look, these coaches, these same coaches that you mentioned, has been coaching for 20-plus years.
A lot of them, yeah.
20-plus years. Recruiting in the same urban areas that they get these athletes from. And then all of a sudden, when this movement came around, you had a lot of, they call them, they go by stars. And then these two stars, one star athletes, top recruits have all said, black recruits have all said they're not going to these schools anymore. They're going to start going to HBCUs, these black colleges. Now, all of a sudden, you have these white coaches coming out saying, we support the black lives, we support this, we support that. But where were you 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when you saw these same stuff happening and not doing anything about it then? I looked back into it and I thought about it, and it comes all down to it. I made a comment last night with the guys, everybody at Dunston. The only color that matters to me is green. But that's what matters to them too. Because if they don't have these athletes, they're not winning these games. They're not winning these championships. They're not getting these $11 million a year contracts that they have. So now all of a sudden, when these guys start to say, we're pulling back. Oh, now all of a sudden, this matters to you.
What was it like when you went to UNT?
I mean, the normal recruit basis, how they become recruit, I wasn't a big recruit. I mean, so I don't know how they actually garnish the players, these big recruit players, how they actually garnish them, coaches you see it on TV. I mean, One movie that actually brings it out and shows how it is. You guys ever seen the movie called The Program? James Caan?
James Caan, yes. Oh,
yeah, okay.
I've seen that. Okay.
That movie depicts it all there. That movie depicts it all. And yes, everything I can say that happened in that movie, if you ever seen that movie, that's how it is. That's what I've seen.
Even the steroids?
As
everything. Really?
Everything.
Yeah, I've seen that several times, and I didn't even think that. Okay, I just thought it was kind of an over-the-top movie, but
no.
That was right on the mark.
Yes.
That's pretty sad.
Right on the mark. You know, these coaches have to win. They have to win, and they will do what they do to win. If they have to turn their eyes, they turn their eyes, they turn their backs, and they do what they have to do to win.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because we got into that. You know, they recruit from some of the poorest neighborhoods for the best athletes, but they do nothing with the neighborhood. And then if that athlete gets hurt and that ends his career and he wasn't a good student to begin with, he's got to go back to that neighborhood, like, what, Boys in the Hood?
Yes.
And so when are, you know, they talked about all this justice and getting another player being more in tune. So why the hell, I mean, we've got SMU, TCU, DBA, UNT, and TWU just in this Metroplex area. And you, well, and then the UTA schools. But then, you know, they're not known for their athletic programs as much. When are they going to be held accountable for going in and helping these neighborhoods and trying to improve them, since they're basically picking the best of the best, and then when they're done, just throw them back where they throw them back in that pond? Shouldn't they be more involved with those communities?
I mean, you would think so. Since it is the Metroplex area, you would think so. But once again, when they're, oh, I'm focused over here. I got to focus on how to get the next best player. You know, I got a senior leaving next year. I got to focus on how to get another replacement for him. I got to focus on this. I got to focus on that. I got to win. Now that Texas and OU are leaving the Big 12, there's no telling what kind of recruiting tactics these other schools are going to do to try to get these. Because who's going to come up now out of the Big 12?
I think the Big 12 minus 4 is just going to disintegrate, because there's no powerhouse in there. What, Iowa State, Kansas State, West Virginia, Oklahoma State? Yeah, I like their powerhouse. Texas Tech, Baylor.
I think they're going to build the powerhouse team. They're going to market one team from the rest, from the eight that's left. They're going to market one team so bad to make the recruits want to go there.
Okay.
And all you have now is, I mean, TCU's been winning. TCU. Baylor was winning at a time, then they had that big scandal down there.
Yes.
So K-State at one point was a team.
Under Snyder, yes.
So who do you have? What are you going to throw at it?
I don't know. But it's still, you know, I've been in Dallas since 83. And when I go to South Dallas or West Dallas, I see absolutely nothing has changed. Yet you know those, and that goes for, say, East and Southeast Fort Worth, that Berry Street area. You know they're getting their recruiting kids from those neighborhoods. When are they going to be accountable to actually do something for the neighborhood? I've looked up the endowments of some of these schools, and it's appalling what they have money-wise, but what are they giving back other than a trophy?
They're not looking to give back. They're not looking to give back. If they were looking to give back, they would have did it.
So why won't they?
They're not looking to give back. All they care about is that school. And how can I bring in money for this?
You think that needs to change? That's what they all said last summer.
But the thing about it is, really though, is it their job to do it, or is it our job as a community to change?
Why can't they work as partners?
You know, true.
But
is it their job, or is it our job as a community to change? This is where we live at. If we want our community to prosper and to grow, then we need to do something about it. We shouldn't be looking for handouts.
No.
We should be looking for handouts. We control our own destiny and how we want to live, where we want to live, things like that.
But they could at least not be 100% responsible, but at least kick it off. I mean, I look at these endowments. I go to some of these neighborhoods when I was doing construction and how, I mean, they're just a blight on the community. And all the city, we don't have the money to get rid of those homes. And they just turn into drug and whore and crack houses. And it's like, well, you know, when you can't get the city of Dallas or Fort Worth or Tulsa or Oklahoma City to actually say, well, we're broke, well, then who's it fall on? Not really fall on, but who could help that keeps going into those neighborhoods and they see it, their assistants see it, that, hey, we need to help. We're going to do this. We're going to set up a construction company. We're going to do it as a private operation. The city's going to give us a list of houses and buildings that need to be torn down, and we're going to do it ourselves. Now, what you guys do with it afterwards is up to you, but at least we can start the process. Now, will you continue with it?
It's like, once again, it's not, they can help, yes. But at the same time, when they go into these communities, they go into these communities like, what's those things when you see a horse in the streets? What's those things the horses have? What's they're called? They have on the
blinders.
That's what they go in for. They go in not to see to the left, not to see to the right. They're going in to see this athlete.
Okay.
So they're not looking at anything else but this athlete. Now, if something is in their direct sight going to that, they maneuver around that, but their target is that athlete. Once they get that athlete, then they're gone. They don't come back.
Like Boys in the Hood.
They don't come back.
When that kid was being recruited and that coach really didn't care where he was, he knew what he had
heard
to see.
He can hear the sirens, he can hear the helicopters, the gunshots, but that wasn't what he was worried about. He's worried about every group.
He needed to get that kid.
Yes.
And that's all he cared about. And if it didn't pan out, then he goes back to that neighborhood.
Goes to the next step.
Okay. So do you think this was just a bunch of posturing last year by all these top coaches?
I told you, that's what it was. That's what it was. Just a show so they know that they'll still be able to get recruits. We're behind you. And after you get there, it's like, I got you, bitch.
And now you're mine. And if you get hurt, you're gone.
You're on your own. It's sad, but that's how things happen. It's sad, but that's how things happen. Because they give you this insight, this instep. Oh, we got a big program, we got this, we got that, you know, we're on TV all the time. You're gonna be able to do this, you're gonna be able to do that. But at the same time, you got the other coach in another neighborhood across town, just like your neighborhood, telling the same other recruit, the same position that you play, the same thing.
Okay.
So you're thinking you're going to come to this school, be a star, be this, not knowing that that they've recruited 2-3 other people just like you. So then when you get to the school, you're like,
what the hell happened?
Yeah. You told me that you were only after me. I can come to the school and do this and do that and do that. And then they said, you know, there's 3 other ones just like me that was told the same thing.
Okay. And that brings up, we're going to get back to this more, but that brings up this Quinn Ewers kid from South Lake Carroll that is a junior, but is going to sign with Ohio State so that he's eligible to do, I guess, their pre-training this month. And he has to take, what does he lack, like one class?
He takes one class on his degree. He's one class sort of, because he can't report.
August 20th?
Participate unless he has a high school diploma.
Right.
So they said that he lacks one class. They never said what the class is.
No, they didn't.
But, I mean, like I talked about yesterday, well, the only thing that I can think of a class that you can take in this amount of time is,
I don't know, driver's ed?
A home ec class or something, you know.
I mean, you got 1 month to do a class. And, but, you know, the one thing I saw is there are 6 other quarterbacks in front of him at Ohio State that he's got to compete against. And I guess my problem is, and he said it very succinctly, his quote was, however, following conversations with my family and those I know have my best interests in mind, I've decided it's time for me to enroll at Ohio State and begin my career as a Buckeye. Basically, because in high school, in UIL, he cannot get endorsements, but he thinks he's going to get endorsements as a freshman. I think this is going to set a really bad precedent down the road.
I mean, you got to think about the statement that he said. You got a kid in South Lake. That's one of the wealthiest areas around here.
Next to University in Highland Park, yes.
So, after talking to with your family and your friends, they're telling you to leave school early. And you would think a lot of people out there in South Lake are probably degreed up.
Yeah.
Finished school, degreed up, work their way throughout life, not trying to take the easy road to get somewhere.
Right.
And basically, that's what he's trying to do, take the easy road to get somewhere because of what – it goes back again to what – you don't know what these recruits have told this guy to make him think that he can do this.
Right. But when I saw that quote about endorsements and money, it's like, that's why you want to go to Ohio State? And I think that's just going to open the door for all types of problems, and especially these – poverty-stricken districts, which Dallas has plenty of them in their ISD. It's like, we're going to start, you know, is a coach going to go to a high school coach and say, hey, I'll give you $50,000 if you tell me that kid's a senior so I can take him now and he's maybe a sophomore or a junior. And, you know, we've seen, you know, I'm old enough to remember all the crap that went on in the 70s. With players and the cars and the girls and everything that they were buying these guys. And I think, you know, when the NCAA said, well, now players can get endorsements and make their own money, I think this is going to open a can that is, if we think it's bad now, I think it's just going to get worse.
It goes all back to what I said at the beginning of the show. It's all about that mighty dollar.
And it's
mighty dollar.
And
the thing about it is these kids are not playing the game anymore the way they came into it. When they came into it as a kid, they call it Pop Warner, Pee Wee football.
Yes.
What the coaches used to tell us? Have fun.
Yes.
Have fun. No matter what it is, have fun. But now it's like, the, like I said, when I got to college, it became more of a job. Because after every game, practices, you got graded.
Really?
You got graded. you know, stances had to be right, steps had to be right, this and that. So we got grades. We watched football film Sunday after a game, and Monday morning, you got a grade.
What if you got a bad grade?
Let it happen a couple games in a row. Then the next person, it starts out, that next person, we're going to try something different. We're going to try something different here.
Okay.
So the next person comes in.
Which that brings up something you had told me last year was you had a full athletic scholarship, but what were the requirements to keep that scholarship?
You had to perform. You had to perform. When you go to school, you sign a five-year
contract.
Intent.
Okay.
5-year intent. Because they look out for you, red shirt year, something like that. 5-year intent. I saw many guys, second year, first year, wasn't renewed because you renewed it every year.
Really?
Yes. It was like an insurance policy. You had to renew it. They renewed it every year.
Didn't perform, but if you were a red shirt your freshman year, you still had to perform.
No, when you red shirt your year, that's like saying, okay, you're not ready yet.
Okay, but once
after that, those years, if you didn't perform or up to standards, things like that, yeah, you could have lost your scholarship.
And you lose that, basically, you're going home. What was the turnover rate when you went there?
I think I saw in my time there through 98, I saw 5 or 6 that wasn't renewed.
Okay.
I saw maybe 5 or 6 that just said the hell with it. But like I said, it's a job.
Okay.
It is a job. I understand why some of these players are now saying, yeah, I'm going to get paid. When you go to work every day, you don't tell your boss, okay, you know what? It's okay. You ain't got to pay me this week.
Okay.
But when you go and do what you do, sweat out in the sun, you know, risk yourself, possible injuries here and there, having to be up every morning, going to class, going doing this, doing that. I mean, those are the things of a student athlete. But it came down to it. I mean, it's a job, man.
So do you think that if you got a full ride scholarship that you should still be paid to play football? Isn't the scholarship payment enough?
The scholarship is payment enough, yes. However, it comes down to is, you know, if you're winning, you're helping them win, isn't that coach's contract that he already has enough? He wants more.
Yes, but, okay, we'll come back to that.
That threw you off.
Just a little. But, you know, he signed a contract, and if it was 4 or 5 years and he agreed to $2 million, and that's what you're going to be paid for the next 4 or 5 years, even if you win 2 championships, you agreed to this, honor it. Like Nolan Ryan did his last year with the Rangers. It was an option year. He signed for $1 million, and, of course, all the Dallas press was hammering him. Well, why don't you ask for more? And he said, because that's what I signed, and I'm honoring my contract. So, yeah, I expect a coach, which is probably living in a fairy tale world nowadays, you sign that contract, that's it. That's all you get paid until we renew it. We're not renegotiating because you had 1 good year out of 5. What if you have 3 bad years after that? Are you going to give money back? Well, no. I mean, Mike Gundy actually had to take a pay cut. He agreed to it because he has yet to win the Big 12 minus 2. And I think he's only making, what, $3.75 million now. I'm sure he's just close to being on a soup line.
Yeah.
But at one time it was $4.5 million. But it's like, you know, when we work, we're graded on performance. And if we don't perform to expectations, we're not going to get the raise. We're not going to get the bonus. But then if we have that one good job, then everyone thinks, oh, well, he knows what he's doing. And then he has four other jobs that lose money, but the bid was right. Is his pay going to be cut? And that's my problem, a lot of problem with college sports. How many of these guys actually take a pay cut when you suck? Like Harbaugh with Michigan, I don't know what they're paying him, but if it's more than $1.05, that's $1.05 too much. He is single-handedly crushed Michigan. They're, as far as football, they're not relevant anymore. Why would you tolerate that? I don't know.
It's hope.
Well, you can hope.
Had a bad season.
You know, maybe hoping. Maybe
we need to help him recruit a little better. When I say, I'm being sarcastic when I say yes. Help him recruit a little better. Because maybe we need to throw a little bit more money to him so he can throw to the recruits.
In my business, we just kick it to the curb and say, we'll talk to you later. But there is one thing about keeping that scholarship. And the question came up last night. You did get your economics degree. So as a student athlete, how hard was it for you to keep your studies up, and how much tutoring was available? Because how many hours did you have to take a minimum of like 12 hours a semester to keep the scholarship?
It was, you had to have 12 to 15 hours.
Okay, which that's normal low. That's 3 to 4 classes.
Yeah, a lot of guys just took the minimum 12 hours. A lot of guys were from the area anyway. A lot of guys from Texas area anyway. Okay. So, you know, they took the 12 hours. A lot of coaches got us jobs during the summertime. Everybody worked. There was two places in Denton where we worked at. You had half the football team over at the Budweiser D.C., and you had the other half over at the Miller D.C. So they put all those athletes at the beer store.
That's a bad place to be.
That's where we were all at. So
y'all were at the distribution center. Good Lord. And did they check inventory every night to make sure a few cases weren't missing, Mr. Stewart?
It's not my job.
That's not your job.
So a lot of going back. But what I did, well, what I can say is that, you know, dealing with the bottles, you know, if there was one bottle out of the case that was broken, they threw the whole case out. So
they just never made it to the dumpster.
They threw the whole case out. You know, we had the train right there in the back. And you had to go load the train up with all that was damaged goods, you know.
Uh-huh.
Did all of it make it there? You know, we were young and dumb.
You were young and thirsty.
So there goes Eric. But like I was going back to it. So a lot of us took 12 hours.
Okay.
And we know we're going to be there during the summer anyway. Summer school was going on. So we took 12 hours there, 6 hours during the summertime, you know. And then we took another 12 during the fall, spring. Okay. That's how we managed. As far as the tutoring program goes around, coaches check classes. Okay. They check classes. You either had to have 8 o'clock class, 8 o'clock study hall.
Okay.
Guys went to classes or study halls because they checked. And the way they did it was, you know, Jeff is offense, I'm defense. If someone on, let's say Jeff misses class, is not in class, and they happen to go check for Jeff that day in class, Jeff is not being punished. The whole offense is being punished.
Really?
Yes. So because of you, the whole offense is being punished. And what they used to do, I remember, I only had to go through it twice when they did it. All the Denton area now is all built up community-wise. But from Avenue C, the exit, right there when you get off, it used to be the old McDonald's and Second Save and all that exit there. Second Save is no longer there. McDonald's no longer there.
Yeah, before they widened it. Yeah.
But that right there is where you get off. Faust Field is a couple of streets up the road from there. They would all load us up in a bus, take us all the way to 380. That's like 3 miles up the road.
Yes.
3 miles up the road. 6 o'clock in the morning. We had to run back. And you still had to make it to your 8 o'clock class.
Did you have to maintain a certain grade point?
It was, I mean, at normal school, you had to maintain a certain grade point. No, not to be on academic probation, was a 2.0. I mean, you can go to school twice a day and you should be able to maintain a 2.0, but it wasn't said anything about, I mean, granted, nothing was said about you had to maintain a certain GPA, but of course, if you drop below that minimum standards for the school, of course, you'll be out.
Right.
So, but no, nothing was said about maintaining a certain GPA in that scholarship.
So when you signed up, you still had to go through the bursar. Did you sign your scholarship first and then enroll? How does that work?
Yeah, you sign your, because you can't enroll if you're not a student.
Okay.
So you sign your scholarship. They give you your registration days to go in and register. So it's normally as student athletes, yeah. It's normally before everybody else.
Okay.
So, but other than that, you know, they had the counselors actually, you know, when it's time to register for next year, for the spring sessions or everything, they had the actual first people come down to the athletic dorm.
Okay.
To do everything, get everybody signed up.
Now, if you were struggling in classes, did the coaches ever approach you?
I don't know if they approached any of the students. I mean, I was never approached. I don't know if they approached any of the students. They did get word here and there about, they used to have meetings about grades and things, but.
Okay. Were they very concerned about it, or were they just concerned about grading you on Monday from the film that you watched Sunday?
It goes back into what you contributed.
What you contributed.
What you contributed.
Okay.
What you contributed. You want to be able to be here?
Okay. Did you encounter any racism when you went to UNT?
No. Actually, no. As I tell everybody, you know, the two things, I've mentioned this to you before, that I think racism, two things that brings about and stops racism is sports and the military. Because you all, once you do these things, like I said, just getting up at 6 in the morning, having to run, having to do this, having to fight with your fellow teammates, I mean, you become a family.
Okay.
You become a family.
And either become a family or you're not going to play here. Did anyone ever try and, like we're seeing today, I just watched some something on the UT network about this gal who was a black golfer at UT and was talking about all the racism she was had to endure. And all because she found a scorecard that had, what'd she say, two holes in it and the word N-I-G-G-R written on it. And it's like, okay, well, why wouldn't you just throw that away? But apparently this just damaged her psyche.
I don't think that came from her teammates, more say. I think it was somebody on the outside. Because, as like I said, when you get involved in sports, you tend to turn your eye to that, you know. You tend to turn yourself and say, okay, yeah, this person is the better player.
Okay.
Let this person play. Regardless of race, things like that. This person is better fit, let this person play.
Well, and when I coached, I had whites, blacks, and Mexicans on my team. And I didn't care. All I cared was, what are you good at? Because I need to put you where you will succeed and you will help the team, but you're also going to help yourself. I'm not going to put you in a position where you're going to fail. I've been on teams where they put me in that position and it's not fun. But I always looked at, if you're good at this, then do it. Your color's irrelevant.
Yeah, but then you also have to go back to UT. Isn't the UT going to this big old thing about their fight song?
Oh, man. God, their fight song, and they talked about removing a bunch of statues and replacing them. And what are they going to do? Completely just whatever tradition UT had, destroy it? Or reclassify it and forget we have any history? I mean, history is, it's like you see it in the movie Fury. And Brad Pitt's talking about it. Ideas, what did he, I forgot the exact quote, but basically ideas are harmless, but history is messy.
And you would think differently because Austin is more of a conservative city.
Conservative? Austin?
Yes.
Austin's liberal.
Now, before it was a little bit more conservative.
That was a long time ago.
But those same Texas ex-alums that's down there now mm-hmm. is from a long time ago.
Okay.
Except for the only one I can say that liberal is the boy Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, McConaughey. Yeah, wouldn't he be a great governor?
So, I mean.
But the women have voted for him just like they did Bill Clinton. Oh, it's like when, it amazed me. I was watching it when he was talking about teaching this film class at UT, and I was amazed. All the women that lit up and said, oh, I would take that. You're not going to take the class. You're going to stare at him. Just be honest. Well, and I put some comments on that post, and they, let's just say they weren't appreciated. It's like, let's call a spade a spade. You're not going there to learn how to make a film. You just want to sit there and stare into his eyes. And that's why you would vote for him for governor. Yeah, we saw that with Bill Clinton. That went over well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That did not go over well. Okay, here's another one for you. What do you think about Cuomo? And where the hell's the Me Too movement? What happened to them?
They're sleeping.
Sleeping?
They're sleeping.
With who?
Cuomo.
With Cuomo. That was wrong. That was that was right, but it's wrong.
I mean, it was just a period of time. I mean, all these movements. I mean, you could say the same thing. All these movements they had was just to get somebody out and get somebody else in. Me Too movement.
Oh, the
Antifa
hate
movement, BLM movement, Saturday Night Joe movement, whatever, to get somebody out, get somebody else in.
Because, I mean, they chastised Trump and Kavanaugh with no proof, but then here we get this 165-page report from the Attorney General of New York, and why aren't they standing out there by the tens of thousands in Albany demanding he be removed? Where'd they go? It's summer. You can't blame it on the weather.
I mean, it's...
Is that just hypocrisy at its finest?
It's a lot of things that is going on nowadays that I kind of ponder over and be like, what the fuck, man? And going back, if you guys don't know me, Jeff knows I'm a real, real, real hard conservative. You know, so I believe that, you know, everybody should be held accountable for actions. This and that, not, oh, it's not his fault that he was raised this way. It's not his fault that he grew up. Just everybody has the same opportunities as everybody else has. It's what you do with those opportunities that makes you.
And you have made a lot out of your opportunities because you grew up a military brat, basically. Your dad was in the Army, correct?
Correct. So, I mean, that's why I say I told them last night, I have only one friend. She's a pain in my ass, my fiance. But other than that, because, I mean, I was 2 years here, 2 years there, 1 year here, 1 year there. So you don't have time to meet friends, have friends. I don't know how long I was going to be here.
Right.
So And the hard part about it is I had to make sure that I kept myself straight because, I mean, growing up, you know, my father was an officer in the military, for one. So, you know, he had a line that he had to walk, you know, being a black officer at that. So, and it's just how it is. So.
Did he face any racism? What did he retire as a captain?
Major. I'm pretty sure he probably did. I'm pretty sure growing throughout, he probably did. Going from different base, coming in, you know, all of a sudden you've been at this base for 10 years, and all of a sudden this black guy comes in, and now he's your boss. Like, fuck. It happens. It's undercover. It happens, you know, but...
But he never really talked about it.
No.
He just did his job, kept his nose clean.
He did his job, kept his nose clean, you know, and he knew things. He probably didn't share things with us, but the things that he did share with us helped us, you know. And he told us, you know, at the dinner table at night, he told us, I'm going to teach y'all and talk to y'all about things that white men teach their kids.
Okay.
You know, he taught us about how to save, how to manage money, how to do these things, you know, how to build wealth, how to make yourself, how to make you somebody, you know, and it all starts with you not blaming anybody else because you failed at something.
Right.
You start over, you start again, you fail again, you know, and you figure out, okay, is this for me or not? And you move on to the next. But you don't put the blame on anybody but yourself, regardless of where you come from, how you grew up, because we didn't have it all growing up.
Right.
We didn't have it all. We had what we needed. You know, not what we wanted, but what we needed. You know, now, you know, I have what I want and can get more of what I want because of the upbringing. You know what I'm saying? And I look at it as a joke, but he taught us, he said, I'm going to teach you how as soon as Joe Bob over there get up and go buy a new house, you can get up and go do the same thing.
And you have.
So, I mean, it's just things like that. And those are things right there is what we need as part of holding ourselves accountable. If those things are being taught at home, you know, not depending on somebody else, school-wise, this is that, teach your kids these things, you know, those are things that we use to be held accountable and keeping your kids accountable. You can have these things that's going on right now in the streets. I mean, every day I go out and I have to tell people, I see kids, random kids in the store, dude, pull your pants up.
Yes.
Dude, pull your pants up. And that's why they look at us the way they look at us. We can't even carry ourselves right.
How's that going to change?
I mean, how would you look at a man that says, oh, I'm a man, but yeah, you got your pants down your knees? Really?
I'd say, no, you're not. You're an idiot.
So, I mean, but you know how it goes, though. They look at one, you see two, you see three, and then all of a sudden, you start classifying everybody. Once again, you go back to classifying and classifying and classifying, you know.
Okay. Now, if you've got any questions for us, the number is 888-627-6008. Do you think this is ever going to change? Or do you think it's getting worse?
As far as what? Everything?
As far as people being accountable for themselves.
Man, it's not going to change. What's the new norm? The new norm now. The new norm now. What's the new norm now? It's. I'm not gay. I classify myself as a woman, so it's okay for me to mess with a man. Dude, you're a dude and you like dudes. You're gay.
Yes.
I classify myself as this, so it's okay.
No, it's not.
Where at?
No, it's that's a bunch of crap as far as I'm concerned.
So you see it all over. I mean, it's like I classify myself as a woman, as a man, so it's okay for me to mess with women. I'm not gay. I'm straight.
And then, you know, these men that are classifying themselves as women and then competing in women's sports, I think that, you know, that just destroys everything that the gals fought for and got in, was it Title IX?
Why? I mean, yes. I mean, why? How?
Killing them.
Where is this coming from? How are we allowing this? I mean, I bet these women back in the days that burned their bras just to be able to vote, I bet they're mad as hell.
Gloria Steinem and that group.
They're mad as hell. Now all of a sudden you got, I can't compete with men, so I'm going to classify myself as a woman and compete with them.
What's it going to take to stop this shit? It's all politically driven, and for whatever reason, these people are bending over backwards to oblige them and accommodate them.
Yeah,
and it makes no sense. It's kind of like this Cori Bush. I don't know. Did you see her little press conference the other day? She's a representative from St. Louis, and said it's okay for her to spend $200,000 for personal protection because her life has been threatened. But the rest of you just need to suck it up and deal with it. What type of shit is that?
I mean, it's just like,
I mean, she's all for defunding the police.
Why? I mean,
you tell me and we'll both know.
You gotta have everywhere you go. This is part of accountability. Everywhere you go, you have rules.
We used to.
It's a structure put into place. You know, there's a process, everything. You don't follow the process, things happen.
Okay, yes.
So there's rules everywhere you go, there's rules. You know, so it's get to the point now to where, I mean, it's, I don't know. I started using your term. You don't get your ghost smelling ass out of here. I mean, because it's a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Can we say that on the radio?
You said several things on the radio. It's okay. They haven't shut us off yet. I haven't been blasted by the producer over those. Because it is the heat of the moment at times. But it's, you know, and I also throw in there, you know, the women won the bronze medal in soccer.
Yes.
And only one stood before they started the game, Carly Lloyd.
But it was, I think that was one of the semifinal games before. I don't think it was the final game that.
No, it was the start. It was, they did it before the start of the bronze game against Australia. I think that's who they played. And she's the only one standing. If these people want to represent the United States, then they should be required. You will stand. Or you won't represent us.
Once again, I'm kind of torn on that part because military, yes, but we got to think about where the whole kneeling came from.
Like with Kaepernick?
It wasn't dishonoring the flag, dishonoring the it was about justice.
Okay.
How can I get something started? This is something that's going on, something that's been going on for ages.
Go ahead.
So, okay, let me do something different, man. Okay, I'm going to kneel. Shit, you're not kneeling against the flag. You're kneeling against injustice.
Okay.
Do you think there has been and is injustice between the two different races?
Yeah, especially when Biden passed that bill in 94.
So?
And prior to that, yes. When it comes to the criminal system, a black man was given no leeway. And if a white man was caught doing the same crime, an officer would be more lenient to maybe just ignore it. But the black kid, he wasn't. Yes, I do. I know that has happened through history, that especially in the South. I mean, we all know what the Dixiecrats and what the Southern states after the Civil War were like. But the Northern cities weren't much more obliging to them either. I mean, hell, like the after the Civil War ended, you know, a lot of blacks migrated north for jobs and they were not well received. So over 100,000 wound up going to Canada and somehow they survived up in that frozen tundra. But, you know, this stuff about how the Northerners were so acceptance, that's not true. They weren't. I mean, look at Detroit during World War II. They had a riot in 44, I think it was, and it was a bad one, and it was over injustice and equal pay and working conditions. So, but how do we get past that? And we don't do it with Fox and MSNBC and CNN because they all have agendas. They all have a side that they want everyone to take so that they can get ratings. And as you said earlier, make money, because that's what they're in business for. They're not in business. There was a time, and you might be old enough to remember, when we had three stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, and we got the news. We just got the news. That's all it was. Because my news was filled with Vietnam. I remember every night they had a clip about Vietnam, how many had died, how many had been wounded. But there was no commentary to it until the Tet Offensive and Walter Cronkite said, the Vietnam War can't be won, and that really just shifted the public's opinion, because Walter was a very renowned World War II reporter and did well after that. But when the media starts giving their commentary, like we talked about with the COVID vaccine, it all just goes to shit in a handbasket. And who's telling the truth and who isn't?
I mean, the only thing that's helping us now is social media. I pretty much don't like it. I use it here and there, but I pretty much don't like it because it's too much of a distraction.
Can be, yes.
But that's the only thing that's helping us now. I mean, because you see more of it. Everything is coming to light now.
Right.
Because you go back, let's go back to 91. And I'm pretty sure when I brought that data, I'm pretty sure the first thing that's coming to mind. What happened in 91 that was videotaped?
Oh, Rodney King.
Plain dead eyesight.
Yes.
And what happened?
The officers weren't charged.
Not guilty across the board.
Yes. So they burned the Korean neighborhood, which that didn't make any sense.
It didn't. But I mean, if you have plain eyesight, and nothing's still being done, you can't do nothing but, okay, we're giving you options, we're giving you the opportunity, we're giving you this to change, and you're not going to do it ourselves.
Okay. Is defunding the police the answer?
No, it's not, because we still need the police. We still need the police. And I'm sitting here wondering what's going to happen, because September 1st is right around the corner.
Yes, it is. And explain to the audience what that means in Texas.
Right around the corner, September 1st, we're open carry everywhere without identification or anything. What's that going to do now?
That's bad business. I don't know what Abbott was thinking when he came up with that. Or any of those guys in Austin. I mean, yeah, open carry without a permit. So that's everyone. That's the criminals, the thugs, the law-abiding citizens. Are we going back to Matt Dillon and Dodge City days? They're having it in Chicago right now. Let's just have shootouts in the streets all the time.
And then the first thing they're going to do is say, Where are the police? Oh, but you wanted to defund us.
Yes. And that was the whole point of bringing Law and Order in, and you get to see that in the good version of Tombstone with Kurt Russell, where they tell people, we're not telling you you can't have guns. We're telling you you just can't have them in town. Because they were tired of all the shootouts over, you know, he's cheating at cards. He didn't pay my beer tab, like he said. He was hitting on my woman, so they just resolved it with a bullet between the eyes. And the way we're going, it's kind of headed back to that. You bump into the wrong person, and they could shoot you for looking at you sideways. Mm-hmm. And if someone witnessed it and said, no, he started it, well, then you get off with murder. I mean, what, are we going to go back to hangings in public squares? Not that that would hurt at times, but we're going backwards. And this September 1st law, I think it's setting the stage for a unprecedented, I hate that word because the media has been blowing it out of the water for 6 months, of a crime wave we've never seen. I mean, how many shootings are there going to be on 635 and 35 because somebody got cut off? You know, I just throw my hands up. I don't give anybody the finger because, like, they're really paying attention to you anyway. I just throw my hands up. I go, what the hell? What are you doing? But I'm not going to get out of my truck at 70 miles an hour and confront them or try and run them off the road. Because, hell, that's what happened to me in February, just going to get a pack of cigarettes, and that guy ran me off the road into a sign. That was not a fun morning, but... is that where we're going? Especially, you know, these areas where these coaches are recruiting players, they're going to have to start packing. Because if people see those cars, it's like, we know who he is. And we know who he works for. And we can get money for him if they want him back. You see that possibly happening? And then their blinders are going to have to come off with what you pointed out is, I just need to see this house. I hear the helicopters. I hear the gunfire. But that's my target. That's the kid I want. And then he's going to go down the street, and there's going to be five kids standing out in the road with pistols and shotguns and saying, we want
you. You didn't think I was good enough to play? Why you didn't come see me? You didn't think I was good enough to play?
Yeah. I mean, do you not see it escalating to that? This is bad business.
It's going to be something. It's going to be something.
You know, you really, and to Greg Abbott, I did 4 videos on your ERCOT collapse. It was horrible. And the winter that what we went through, and then when summer hit, and we hit our first 100 degree day, and we were going to have to cut back on energy. You haven't fixed a damn thing. The legislation you passed sucks because it doesn't go into effect till next year. Or none of those people at ERCOT were held responsible. They all retired, took their millions, and got their goat-smelling ass out of Dodge, and no one has been held accountable today. When are you going to do that, Greg? And I also want to know, when are you going to close the border? I've heard about Operation Lone Star. If you close the border, that means nobody crosses it. Nobody crosses it. It's in the Texas State Constitution that you can protect our border. When are you going to do it? You say you just have all these... troopers that were sworn in, was it 145, I think? It was a big swearing in. Well, you got National Guard troops from Texas and other states that have sent people down here, and the border is still open. You have not shut it down. You're just funneling them to the buses, to the DHS centers, so that they can ship them across the United States. Close the damn border. It's in your power to do it. Quit waffling and have a backbone and do what the Constitution of the state of Texas says you can do. Other than that, I don't want to hear a damn word out of your mouth. I don't want any more press conferences or any of that other crap. Other than that, I like Greg Abbott. Yeah, that was a lie too. I mean, you knew about that, right? And what have they done?
Nothing.
And yet, you know, how many super spread, you know, the Super Bowl, didn't the media say that was a super spreader event because it was in a Republican state of Florida? Well, what the hell's going on the southern border for California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas? What do you call this when 10% of the migrants are infected? Is this not a super spreader event? Or is this just close your eyes and it'll be okay?
Close your eyes and let's get some more federal funding.
But where's the money coming from? We're $30 trillion in debt. You took it. You have an economics degree.
I personally, I'm still trying to wonder, where did they come up with all this money before? Because, you know, you always have these ads, you always have this, you always have that about helping the wounded, helping the homeless, helping this, helping that. You know what? There's so much poverty here. They could have been using money for that, but we don't have this, we don't have that. Then all of a sudden, this virus comes out, and you got all kinds of money now.
$5 trillion is what Trump approved.
All kinds of money. I mean, we print our own money, so I knew before it was all lies.
Yes.
So, I mean, or is it really to the point to where they're saying the dollar is really about to be worthless?
Well, with your economics background, how much debt can the federal government continue to rack up before everything collapses? You know, there isn't one state in the union that is liquid. Every state is upside down. How much longer can this go?
Well, you know, hey, one thing I was talking about Pop, once again, mention him. Hey, it's going to come down to liquid and credit.
Okay, but when the U.S. credit collapses, because that's basically what we're operating on off of Federal Reserve, we owe them $30 trillion.
If you don't own nothing, you're going to be fucked.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to start being the purge season.
Oh, good Lord.
It's going to start being the purge season. I mean, can you not see it?
I don't know what I say.
Can you not see it? Open carry. Nobody has this. Nobody has that. Okay. It's going to go back to the old days then. Like, yeah. You got it. I don't.
I want it.
I got this with 16 shots in it. So.
Yes.
You want to do this the easy way or the hard way?
Yeah. It's not a good path. And if the U.S., you know, if the U.S. did go down, how does that affect the world? Because we are the biggest consumer nation in the world. And if our economy collapses, what happens to all the other, like Europe? What happens to Europe? And China. I mean, China just lost their income. Without us, they don't survive. They've got to have American dollars.
I guess it's going to all resort back to, then everything's going to resort back to, everybody's going to be picking up a Bible.
Kind of like
Kumbaya.
Like after 9/11, when all the churches were packed for a month because we were attacked.
Yeah.
And everyone said, I guess we better get right with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That didn't last long, did it?
Yeah.
A couple of months. I mean, I remember when those senators and congressmen stood on the steps and was it God Bless America or the Star Spangled Banner? And we were divided then. And to see them come together, that was a pivotal moment. But as like everything else in Washington, it doesn't last.
Just for show. Just for ratings and just for show.
And when do we stop the show?
I don't know, man. When the next show comes on. I mean, that's what it looks like now.
But I don't, what's going to be the next show? A complete rebuilding of the United States?
I guess that's why they're doing these Bezos and Branson are doing these space forages.
Yeah, I got my own problems with Bezos. I'm still, well, they deleted all my reviews a year ago. 6 months after they deleted them once, I called them. They said, okay, we'll reinstate your account. Did they reinstate my reviews? No, I had to reload 850 reviews, which took 2.5 weeks. And 6 months later, I get a message, all your reviews are gone. Because I hurt somebody's feelings. And it's like, okay, whose feelings did I hurt? And what review did you not like? And you don't get a response. And I sent Bezos messages on Twitter. And you can't call anybody on the phone, but I'm going to do that next week. I'm going to find some son of a bitch to talk to try and.
Yeah, but we talked about this last night, though. Everybody's so sensitive.
I know.
Everybody is so sensitive. You know, I see it all the time. People talk about the school system. Teachers can't say this. Teachers can't say that. When I was growing up, teachers paddled you.
Yes, I was on the back end of a paddle one too many times.
You know,
yes.
Teachers paddled you. So you didn't want to, because if you got paddled at home, I mean, at school, they knew about it because, of course, they had to get the consent from the parents. So they knew, you knew about it coming home. So you knew you was going to get it coming home, too.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yes.
We grew up at a time to where, if you was acting up, Nancy down the street, and she saw you acting up, she got a hold of you. And then when you got home, your parents got a hold of you.
That was just an ass kicking all the way around the neighborhood.
So, but that's part of the accountability part, though. The communities. You see little Johnny down there at the store doing what he ain't supposed to do. Tell little Johnny, you know you messing up.
Yes.
Hold him accountable. Tell little Johnny's mama, I saw little Johnny down the street. Because that's what happened. That's what happened. I saw him down the street, acting up, this and that. And you know, you you made sure you was good, because the last place that you wanted your mom or dad to hear the gospel being from was when you went to church Sunday.
In some of those communities,
when
yes.
you went to church Sunday, if they heard it, the gospel at the church, you know you got another one when you got home.
Yes. You just couldn't win back then. If you were in trouble, everybody knew, and you were paid for it.
Exactly.
2 to 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I finally figured out that if I was going to get in trouble at school, I better do it on Friday. If I do it on Monday, I got to wait till my dad gets home from traveling across the states.
Yeah.
And it would just be just as bad. It would be worse. But, I got in trouble Friday. Dad's coming home tonight. It'll be done by Saturday, and I can move on. Otherwise, I've got to spend 5 days going on what the hell's going to happen this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
But, yeah, nowadays, you can't spank your kids. You can't do this. Why not?
You'll hurt their feelings. You're going to damage their psyche for life. But then, that started in the school system, where parents said, you can't do capital punishment. In fact, my ex-wife and I argued about that. Actually, it wasn't an argument. I pretty well told her, if those kids get in that much trouble, they have my permission to get their butt swatted. Those are my children, too. And I said, too bad. They get in trouble, they'll pay the price. I'm sorry you were pampered growing up. These kids are not going to be pampered. They're going to be held accountable for anything they do. And I always told them, you have two choices. You can choose wisely or you can choose poorly. There are consequences for both. You make the call. And they just kind of stared at me like, huh? Well, as they got older, they realized that's one of the biggest lessons that I taught them. I mean, my oldest son and his kid, a couple of kids got in trouble. I got a phone call. And they apparently had shot out some windows on a mobile home. And when I found out about it and who was involved, well, I called that guy up. He came down. Then Justin told me who else was involved. And I called up this kid's mom and said, you need to get down here. I mean, they'd shot out with a BB gun. They'd shot out like two or three windows. Well, that's somebody else's property. Now they got to pay for that. And his brother and sister just looked at me and go, "You going to let Justin go to JV Hall?" And I said, "It's not my call. That's not my property. That's Mr. Reed's property. It's up to him. If he calls the sheriff to come down here, that's a price he'll have to pay." That kid was scared shitless. And so were his brother and sister. He never did that again.
But he didn't.
No, he was like, you know, to see his brother and sister going, "Dad, you're going to let Justin go to jail?" Yeah. He did it. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. And he said, "Well, I didn't shoot the windows, but you were there, right?" Well, yeah, I was there. Okay, so then you're guilty by association. I'm sorry. And it's not my call. It's Mr. Reed's. And he made him sweat for about 10 minutes before he said, "No, I just think he needs to come to the house and he can clean some stuff up. I'm not going to call the sheriff." There was a sigh of relief in the Dawson house that night. They were like, "Oh, Justin's not going to jail." I said, "No." But, you know, he was, what, 10? So they were, you know, kids were stupid, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, you think we've covered it all, or was there anything else politically you wanted to discuss?
No, we covered everything, basics that we had outlined, what we was going to talk about. You know, a lot of people that's listening now, you know, they heard most of it last night. They got a sneak preview, but you know, got to a little bit more depth things today.
Yes, because I did keep asking, "Well, what's going to talk about?" You'll find out tomorrow. If you're that curious, tune in, and I'm sure most of them have. And hopefully a lot more, but we've run the gamut, and I want to thank Lee for joining and giving a different perspective on the college football and how the scholarships and education works and his take on racism. I mean, yeah, that's why I didn't introduce him as a black man, because he's just a friend, and that's the way I look at him. Color is what you want to see. And it's like Isaac Hill told me, the guy that I worked with in construction who did saw and seal, there were only two colors that mattered to him, and they were green and gold. And if we can, but that shouldn't dictate your life. But if you can't see past that and all you want to do is see color, then we're still going to be in for a real rocky road. And it is in our ability to change this. Question is, how bad do you want to change it? Because with this law going into effect September 1st, what's a bad situation now could be absolutely horrendous. We won't see this much blood on the street since the 19th century. And I really don't think we want to go back to that. So you all enjoy the rest of your Saturday and your weekend. And I will talk to you in 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed our time together. I know I did. Without you wonderful listeners, this show would not be possible. If you want to know more about me and how my brain works, that's a scary thought, check out my books at jeffdawsononamazon.com, websites LDDJ Enterprises and jeffdawsonauthor.site for upcoming releases and teaser excerpts from past and present publications. You can also contact me at Facebook, LDDJ Enterprises Publishing, or email LDDJEnterprises@gmail.com or on Twitter at JeffDawson59. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Dawson's Domain.